Amen to all that. You know, God does answer our prayers. All we got to do is ask him, and he will answer them. So my message title today is Have Faith in God. And you can turn with me to Mark 11. Have faith in God. Mark 11. And so this week, my boss was on a conference call with a couple of guys and a customer, and they were telling this guy how this equipment works. But this guy was like, you know, I don't know. This is basically, he didn't say this word for it, but this is basically what he's saying. He's like, I don't understand how this works, but it's not going to work. And I thought, you know, that's exactly what sometimes we do to God. It's like, I imagine we call up God and we're like on the line with God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus. And they're like telling us, you know, trust us, have faith in us. This is going to work. And we're like, God, I don't know how it's going to work, but I don't think it's going to work. So it's like, that's where this faith comes into a play. You know, we may not know how it's going to work, but when you have that faith in God, it's going to work. So Mark 11, and you can go to verse 20, and I'm going to read this out of the Amplified. And this, of course, was after, this is the morning after Jesus had cursed this fig tree. So verse 20, in the morning, as they were passing by, the disciples saw that the fig tree had withered away from the roots up. And remembering, Peter said to him, Rabbi, Master, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered. Jesus replied, Have faith in God. And the Amplified says constantly, you know. Verse 23, I assure you and most solemnly say to you, whoever says to this mountain, Be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart in God's unlimited power, but believes that what he says is going to take place, it will be done for him in accordance with God's will. There it says it will be done. And of course, that's according to God's will again, because, you know, we don't ask for things according to the flesh, you know. I'm going to go ask, oh, God, can you give me $1 billion? Well, he's probably not going to give me $1 billion, you know. But when you ask him according to his will be done. Amen. Verse 24, for this reason, I am telling you, whatever things you ask for in prayer, in accordance with God's will, believe with confident trust that you have received them. Like what it says that you have received them. So when you ask in prayer, don't think about it something that you're going to receive. Believe that you already have it, even though in the realm, in the fleshly realm, this natural realm, it may not be, you know, you don't see it yet, but in the spirit you do. And then it says, and they will be given to you. Whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him. Drop the issue. Let it go, so that your Father who is in heaven will also forgive you your transgressions and wrongdoings against him and others. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your transgressions. So that there is another key that, you know, if we are asking God for something, we need to make sure that we don't have unforgiveness in our heart. Because that's a hindrance, you know, it's a blockage for receiving what God has for you. Now, if you will, you go with me to Romans chapter 8. And I'm going to start at verse 1, Romans 8, 1. And I'm going to read this one out of the New Living Translation. So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. Just that verse right there takes faith. I mean, I know in my own life, and I'm sure you have in yours, that you mess up and it's like immediately, you know, there's this condemnation that tries to get a hold of you for just one mistake. Imagine all the mistakes you've made, you know. The devil will attack you and try to get you to condemn yourself, to constantly think about how worthless you are. It's all an attack of the enemy. But the faith, this is what faith says. It says there is no condemnation in you because you belong to Christ Jesus. So it doesn't matter what sin, what mistakes you have made. Because you have asked for forgiveness, because you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he rise and dead, died for you, and you accept him into your life, you're not condemned. You know, you are not condemned to death. All right, let's go on. Verse 2. And because you belong to him, the power of the living-giving spirit, of the life-giving spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. He sent his own son in a body, like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his son as a sacrifice for our sins. He did this so that the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied for us, who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. And so, to me, this is also goes back to that's why you got to be in God's Word. That's why you got to be following the Spirit daily, because it's so easy, you know. Again, you know, you can't just come to church on Sunday and expect to go the rest of the week living a godly life, because the devil's going to come and attack, and it's so easy to get off track. So it's like you got to constantly, you know, renew your mind. Verse 6, letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death, but letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. And that's part of that faith too, having faith in God. It's like you could be going through the storm, a raging storm, and you have that peace of God because you know where your faith is. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws. It's funny, sin and God, you know, sin is always against God, and it never will. That's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. So it takes faith to please God. And then drop down to verse 22. So verse 22, for we know that all creation has been groaning as in the pains of a childbirth right up to the present time. And we believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us, as a foretaste of future glory. For we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. We too wait with eager hope for the day when God will give us our full rights as his adopted children, including the new bodies he has promised us. We were given this hope when we were saved. If we already have something, we don't need to hope for it. But here's 25. But if we look forward to something we don't yet have, we must patiently and confidently, or we must wait patiently and confidently. So that's when you ask God for something, sometimes you just got to have that patient waiting that, okay, I'm going to put my faith and trust in God. I've asked him for this. I thank him for it. And I just go about my day and I wait patiently for him to fulfill that I've asked him for. And he does. He always, always comes through. Now, I've got some verses here that are kind of famous quote ones. So you can just write these down. This is Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8. Isaiah 55, verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. So again, even when we ask for something, or when God's showing us something or giving us a promise, we don't always have to know how he's going to do it, you know? We just have that faith and trust that, okay, God, you gave me this promise, and I don't know how you're going to do it, but I'm just going to have the faith that you're going to fulfill it. And then you can write this one down, Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. And this is the New Living Translation says, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. So as we know from this, you know, really famous verse that God's plans for us is never, you know, bad. You know, anything we come through in life, you know, we can never blame God for the bad things. You know, that's what people like to do. The moment something bad happens, they blame God. Why did you let this happen, you know? The devil seems to get the credit for good things. You know, if you think about it that way, it's like the devil never gets credit for the bad things. You know, people just want to blame God. But God, anything good. So it's like that's where that faith comes in. You know, maybe I'm going through a storm right now, but I know God's plans is a future and a hope. There are good things. You just have to have that faith. And then you can write this one down, James chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. And I'm reading this one out of the Amplified. It says, do not be misled, my beloved brothers and sisters. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above. It comes down from the Father of lights, the creator and sustainer of the heavens, in whom there is no variation, no rising or setting, or a shadow cast by his turning. For he is perfect and never changes. So there again, this just points to that faith. It's like, if God, like again, if God's promised something, you know, his promises all throughout this Bible, he doesn't change. So if he's promised you something, you can stand on faith, knowing that God will fulfill that promise. Again, and just like it said in Mark, when you ask him for anything, you know, you speak to this mountain, be moved. You can also stand on that, that he won't change. He will fulfill it. And then just, I got one more here. You can write this one down. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding." So there again, this just brings me back to the way that, you know, the way I heard that phone conversation go. It's like, he didn't understand how it was going to work, but yet he's confident it's not going to work. And I just think sometimes as Christians, that's what we do to God, you know. We ask him for something, or he's promised us something, and we're like, "God, that ain't going to work. I don't understand it, but it ain't going to work." Rather than just saying, "Okay, I'm going to trust, believe. I don't need to worry about it. I don't need to understand it. I just know that God's got it. God's going to take care of it, and he fulfills it." And just like, you know, the testimonies this morning, how many times can you look back over your life and see how God came through when you didn't see it coming at all, you know? A lot of times when we ask God for something, you know, we sort of like try to think, okay, how's God going to fulfill this? And we think he's going to fulfill it one way, and he comes completely over here on this side, you know, completely where we don't expect and fulfills it. So that's what I encourage you today, is that whatever it is that you have need of, just have that faith in God that he will fulfill it. You may not understand it. You don't need to figure it out. Just trust and have faith in God. So that is it.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. That was wonderful. Amen. Y'all have faith? Even if it's the size of a grain of mustard seed, it is awesome, mountain-moving faith. Amen? All right. You can go ahead and turn to Ephesians 6. We're going to continue on the series, Conquering Demonic Spirits. This one is Walking in Authority in the Supernatural. And I just want to talk a little bit about Jesus having authority that was given to him by the Father. So, you know, when Jesus was born of a virgin, he came from God directly. The Holy Spirit hovered over Mary, and so he was born differently from the way we were born. We were actually born under a curse, but Jesus was not. He was born innocent. When he was on the cross and he died for our sins, what happened was he took on all of our sins, because you had to have something that was pure and clean and spotless in order to have a sacrifice made for you out of the law. Well, Jesus was pure and clean and spotless, no sin. What he did was he took all sin upon himself. And then because he took that sin upon himself, he went to hell, and that was him paying the price. But what the devil didn't know, and what he, you know, the devil, you would think that after all the stuff that was written in the Bible that he would have understood what was going to happen, but he didn't. And so when Jesus paid that price, then he took all that was in hell, all of the captives, and set them free. He took the keys of death and hell, so no longer are we under that curse if we believe in what Jesus has done, if we believe in him. If we don't believe in him and we don't have faith in Jesus, then we're still under that curse. Because just, I love that story that Michael told, because we don't know how it works, so it must not work. So we can't figure out, how did Jesus take all this sin upon himself, and how can we even be free? We don't have to understand. We just have to have faith. Amen. When you have faith, then the understanding comes. You know, like I understand more of how Jesus did that and why it had to happen now than I did when I was a child. When I was a child, I just took it. I received it and I believed it. Jesus paid the sacrifice. Okay, amen. I receive him into my heart. But now that I'm older, I understand more of the apologetics, more of the doctrine of how and why God put all this together. And that, you know, if you're not sure of something, ask him for it. Ask God for the understanding. He will give it to you. Amen. But you first must go to him in faith, right? And I love how Michael ministered that, because that goes straight into what I want to show you all today. So Ephesians chapter 6, this is about the armor of God, but I'm just going to read 10 to 12. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And I want you to go to Galatians chapter 5 while I share on this. So one thing that I think that we do so often, and I know this is like in my life I've done this too, is we tend to fight spirit with flesh and flesh with spirit. And so, and we're not winning, and we're trying to understand why are things not changing? Why aren't things happening? Because God did not create us to just fight the spirit with the flesh. God gave us authority in the spirit realm so that we would conquer spirits. Amen. You know, the devil is a spirit, right? Why do you think that just yelling at him and cursing him can make him just do something different? Just because you're mad at a situation, you just yell at a situation and you expect it to change? Or you just hold all this anger and bitterness and wonder why things aren't changing? Or you just get mad and you know, it's just like circle after circle. You know, you're just like, oh, this isn't changing, get mad. Because you're fighting the wrong way. You have to take authority in the spirit realm with the Spirit of God. Amen? You can't physically fight the enemy. It's like taking a knife to a gunfight. You know, you can swing that knife around all you want, but you are going to get shot and it's going to be over. It's like, it is pointless to fight flesh with the spirit. You just can't handle it. And the devil knows that. He knows that. You know, in the Keys to Freedom series, I love this whole series that we went through, because what it did was it showed, at the very beginning, it showed a tree, and we all have our own trees. And at the root of us is everything that makes us up, everything that we are. If we are born in the Spirit of God, and we are putting in us the Word of God, and our foundation is in the Word of God, then what will come forth is fruits of the Spirit. But if we are not in the Word of God, and instead we hold on to anger or bitterness or pride or perversity or lies or bitterness, if we're holding on to that in our roots, then what happens is it comes forth. All of that comes forth in our flesh. If it's evil, it comes forth in our flesh. Amen? But if it's good spirit things, then it reaps good fruits of the Spirit. So I'm going to read that real quick, and then I'm going to finish what I'm talking about. So Galatians chapter 5, I'm going to start at verse 13. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty, and that also means freedom. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and in the New Living Translation, it says the flesh opposes the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other. You see what that means? The flesh cannot do anything about the spirit, and the spirit can't do anything about the flesh. But the Spirit of God can take control and have authority over the spirit. I cannot, for example, change how you believe in your heart. If you believe something in your heart, I can yell at you all I want to, but if you believe it, you believe it. If you have the faith of God in your heart, I can persecute you, I can yell at you, I can tell you God is not real, I can tell you he can't do anything for you. But if you believe that in your heart, that flesh can't destroy your spirit. Amen? All right, let's go on. I'm going to read that whole verse again. For the flesh lusteth or opposeth the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led by the Spirit, led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. So what these are, the works of the flesh are what are caused by the root issues in your heart. Amen? So these are manifestations of the flesh. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So I'm going to pause right here for a second. So what is the kingdom of God? Jesus talks about all the time. It is the spirit realm where you reign with Christ. So you don't have to turn there, but in Ephesians, I believe it's chapter 1 and chapter 2, it talks about how we are seated above in heavenly places. When Jesus was raised from the dead, we were raised up with him. And in our spirits, he created, when you receive him into your heart, when you receive Jesus, he actually creates a new spirit in you. You are a whole new creature. And that is one thing that just baffles the enemy, because he can't touch that. He can't touch that part of you because it is sealed by the Holy Spirit. When you are a new creature in Christ, that part of you is forever in Christ. You can turn away from him, and you can actually get rid of that by stopping believing in Jesus and turn away from the Lord. I don't recommend it. But if you have that in you, it's in you forever. It is sealed by the power of the Holy Spirit. It is an amazing, amazing thing. So what you actually are is you are a spirit being that lives in the kingdom of God, even though your flesh is here on this earth. And in that kingdom of God, and it says on here, all of these things happen, but they don't happen through the kingdom of God. They happen through your flesh, right? And so the only way to conquer this stuff and conquer these roots and this manifestation in your life is to actually take it over by the power of your spirit, the spirit of God inside of you. Amen? So anything in the Keys to Freedom book, I love how it puts it this way, because basically, you know how you go to a psychiatrist and they want to tell you, well, let's change your behavior. You need to change your behavior. You're in a bad habit of doing this, so let's change your behavior. You need to change the way you see things and look at things and only think positive thinking and no negative thinking, and that'll change your behavior and your situation will change in your life. And that might work for a little bit. But see, what they're doing is they're trying to help you conquer things that in the spirit realm through your flesh. And you just can't. You just can't. If you have problems that are going on in your life, in your flesh, you have to conquer them by your spirit. Amen. So every root in your life has to be, if there is a bad root, it has to be cut off and you need to grow a new root. Amen. If you have root of any kind of wound or a hurt in your past or a bitterness, or maybe you hate somebody and you don't really want to say it out loud, but God knows it in your heart. All of these things become actually trees that manifest fruit in your life that you don't want. So like when Jesus says, you know, if, like he said, talking about adultery, and says, if you look upon a woman to lust after her, you've already committed sin in your heart. Because what happens is that creates a root in your heart. If you are desiring, and I'm going to tell you this as a woman, I'm not going to say that I don't look at any man and say, oh, that guy's not cute. Okay? Because, I mean, God creates handsome people and handsome women. You know, it's just how it is. But it's not in my heart to look at that person and be like, well, I want to marry that person. No, because I have my own husband. So in my heart, you know, it's not there. But if it's in your heart to lust after somebody or lust after something, then you're going to go after that and it's going to be manifest in the wrong manner. Every thought produces an action if you don't take control of that thought. And you take control of that thought by the Spirit. You cannot conquer flesh with flesh. You can modify behavior. You cannot conquer it. Amen? So I got to thinking about this because I was looking at the trees outside. We were walking around the other day. And you know how trees in the wintertime, they look so bad. I mean, they just look hideous. I mean, you look at the trees and you're thinking, how are they ever going to come back to life again? And so you just look at that. But in the springtime, what happens? They come forth. So we were in the orchard the other day, and Mandy was, she was kind of picking at a tree, a little limb off of the apple tree. And I was like, Mandy, don't do that, because that tree is alive. And so we got really, really close, and I showed her these tiny little buds that were coming off of this limb that looked like it was dead. And I just told her, I said, it's in hibernation in wintertime, but it's coming forth because spring is here. And so I was just explaining that to her. And so as I was studying, I got to thinking how what we do, and this can happen. Have you guys ever been through like a really hard time in your life where it seems like a winter in your life and it seems like everything is harsh? And so you pull into yourself, you know, and you're going through something. And let me tell you, if you're pulling into yourself and you don't have the Spirit of God inside of you and you don't have the Holy Spirit and you're not made new in Jesus, then you're just pulling yourself into dead roots. And those roots are not going to produce good in your life. You know, so if you want good things to be produced in your life, if you want, and you can, we can read on to verse 22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. So we've done this by the Spirit. We're not doing this by the flesh. If we live in the Spirit, verse 25, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. So I want to encourage you, if the supernatural power of God is not working in your life, then you need to look inside yourself. Have you received the Holy Spirit? You know, when we talk about being baptized in the Spirit, you know, that just means being immersed in the Spirit of God. And what happens is the Holy Spirit, you just like, you know, Jesus breathed on his disciples. You need to just breathe in the Spirit of God and say, yes, I surrender. I receive you. Take over my life. Because we need the Spirit to push out all of the darkness in our life. We can't just conquer the flesh, we can't just conquer things by our own flesh. You know, we can try to solve problems. The world has so many problems. And how many times do people say, well, we can just solve this if we do this and this and this. I have a solution. Let's do this and this and this. Instead of praying to God and finding out what the real issue is. You know, I have thought about, you know, when we get together for prayer, you know, I don't want to just pray just because it's a routine. You know, like when I pray for people, I want to know the actual issue that's going on in their heart. You know, like, for example, say somebody breaks their arm and you're praying for their broken arm, but you know that there's something more because that person could actually be dying of cancer and you're praying for their broken arm, but there's actually a bigger thing that's going on in their lives. So that's where, you know, we can't just think about the flesh. We have to walk in the spirit. If there are issues that are going on in our lives, we need to step back instead of looking at that with our flesh eyes, instead of seeing that the way that we see things every day, instead see it in the spirit. God, what is really going on in this situation? What am I missing? What am I not seeing? Holy Spirit, show me how to pray. Is there something in my heart that's not right? Is there something in my life that is holding me back from you? Show me, Jesus, what it is so that I can pray. Is there something going on? And I pray this for the church. I pray, Lord, is there something in the church that's going on that we need to pray for, that we need to stand against? Is there something in this nation? Is there something in the body of Christ? Whatever it is, show me, Lord, so that I can take authority over it. Amen. God does not just... He doesn't just want us to walk in this world just facing everything in a natural manner when we are a supernatural people. When things are going wrong, we are supernatural. We can do things in the spirit realm that the devil can't even touch. Amen? There are things in your lives that you need changed and that you have put aside and you think that can never change. I can never stop being this way, or I can never give up this thing, or I don't want to give up this thing. Whatever it is, the Holy Spirit wants to change that. He wants to do things, awesome, mighty, powerful works in your life. You know, we look at this sometimes. We look in the Word and we see that Jesus performed miracles. And Jesus said, greater works than these will you do because I go to my Father. And sometimes I think in the body of Christ, what we do is we see the miracles and we go after the miracles. We go after the supernatural, but we don't go after the God of the supernatural. We don't go after the God who is the one who gives us that authority and that power. The power of God is the power of God. It's not the power of Esther or the power of Aunt Jessie or the power of Aunt Linda or the power of Michael or Michael or Michael. It is not in ourselves that we are fighting this battle. It is the power of God. And if we want things to start changing in our lives, then we need to wake up as the body of Christ. Amen. We shouldn't go after things that are just temporary. You know, like so often the body of Christ, when you hear of an evangelist that's performing miracles, you'll hear of Christians hopping from place to place to place because they want a miracle so bad. And it's like, I understand you need a miracle and you want a miracle, but God just doesn't give that to one person. Jesus gave that to all of us. Amen. We, you know, sometimes we think, well, if I get prayer by this one person and this special person, or if I do something different in my life and I do these good works exactly how the Bible says and I'm a holy person, then I'll get my miracle. And we miss having a relationship with Jesus Christ in the first place. Amen. If there is something that is lacking in your life, if there is something that needs to be changed, then take this time alone with Jesus, nobody else, alone. He's the only one who hears the thoughts and the intents of your heart. Amen. He knows the motives behind what you're thinking and your actions. He knows those motives. He judges those and determines what's really going on in your life. Amen. If you really want to change, then you need to go to him. You need to say, God, I don't really want to be this way anymore. This, not just me, but my whole family. What's affecting my whole family, God? I want my whole family to change. How do I change so that I can change others? Amen. Don't look at it as just, you don't do this just for you. You do this for everyone in the body of Christ. You do this for the lost in the world, because your life affects their lives. And if any of you have children who are lost in the world, you need the body of Christ, because you may not reach your children, or maybe your brothers and sisters, or your aunts and uncles, or your parents, but somebody else might. Somebody else God will send along to minister to your family so that they will be one for the Lord. Amen? You don't fight this in the flesh. You know, you can preach to your relatives until you're blue in the face, and it just pushes them away most of the time. But you can pray and pray and pray, and God will take care of it in the spirit. God can handle things that you can't even dream of halfway across the world. Amen? You know, Ann Grevy, she's all the way in Cambodia. And when we pray for her, I never feel like she's all the way in Cambodia. I always feel like she's right here. Like, we are praying for her right here. And I feel that way when I pray for everyone. Like, when I pray for our government, I literally feel like I am in the White House, or I am on the Capitol, and I am praying for them. When I pray for the military all around the world, I know I'm with them. You know, because spirit does not hold, like, in my flesh, I'm just here. You know, but in my spirit, I'm there as well. And you are too. When you pray, your spirit goes everywhere. It is awesome. And when you pray in tongues and you pray in the spirit, you are praying the perfect will of God. And you are praying things to be manifest in people's lives, things to be healed and taken care of, people to be delivered. When you pray in the spirit, you're actually taking what is evil and you're pushing it out. And what happens is Jesus is the captain of the host. And the captain of the host, there are millions and billions of angels that when we pray, they go forth and they do the action for us. Amen. Because in our flesh, we can't fight the spirits, the evil spirits that are affecting this world. We cannot conquer demonic spirits, but we can stand in the spirit realm and take authority. Amen. So are you getting that? Cannot fight flesh, right? You have to stand in the spirit to take your stand against the flesh. Amen. All right. I'm going to keep reading. This is chapter 6 of Galatians. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. And the reason why I want to go on and read this part is because quite often, you know, in the body of Christ especially, when someone is going through something, our first inclination, and actually, I mean, this is humanity itself, we automatically judge that person. You know, we automatically think, well, that person shouldn't be doing this. And what happens is, if we are not careful, and we start judging that person, and it's the wrong attitude in our heart, then we will actually be tempted to do the same thing, or will be tempted to do something along those lines. Amen? So be careful when you speak to somebody, when you are discipling someone, or you are praying for someone, be careful that you don't do it out of judgment and criticism and a religious heart. Because you can only win and be victorious in the spirit realm when you are walking in love. Amen. Love disciplines, and it does correct, but love does not hold you back and does not keep you in a box. Amen. Love does not say, you'll never change, there is no hope. Love does not say that. We as humans feel that. We think, oh, that person's never going to change. You ever heard the expression, once a cheater, always a cheater? Yes, in the flesh it may be like that, but in the spirit realm that can change. Just because someone is one way, it doesn't mean they can't be changed. Amen. Like, have you heard of fathers and mothers who have left their children? You think they'll never get back to loving their children. But then God steps in. Because what God does is he changes the spirit of that person. In the flesh, that person, no, will never change. But in the spirit, they will. And then it reaps fruit in the flesh. Amen. So when you're praying for people, stop praying for their behaviors to be modified. Stop saying, God, that person is angry all the time. Why? Change that anger. You know, but find out, why are they angry? Why are they saying the things that they're saying? What's actually going on in their lives? Maybe they've been hurt in something that you don't even understand. You know, there are things that I have talked to people about that I don't understand what they're going through, but I understand the Spirit of God. And so when they tell me, I may not understand exactly that thing, but when the Holy Spirit speaks, they get the understanding they need so that they know they can be changed. Amen? And that is what we need. We need the Holy Spirit to move in the Spirit to change people. Amen? Because we want to see people living for the Lord through the power of the Holy Spirit. Not because we're just telling them to do this and we're telling them to do that. We're telling them, no, you don't want to go to hell. You don't want to do this and you don't want to do that. You need to do this and you need to do that. Yes, they should. But what's going on in the spirit realm? Why are they being like that? What needs to be prayed for? What needs to be taken authority over? Amen? Jesus gave us this authority for a reason. So, let's turn to Luke chapter 10. I'm going to read this and then we're going to skip over to Matthew. Luke chapter 10, I'm going to read 17 to 19. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. I'm going to go ahead and read the next verse. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, but that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice, because your names are written in heaven. Amen. And I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 13. So Jesus has given us that power. You cannot have that power without Jesus. Just like the sons of Sceva, they wanted to use the power of God, but they didn't want to have a relationship with Jesus. It just doesn't work like that. Matthew chapter 13, I'm going to start at verse 54. Actually, 53. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence. And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? And in the New Living Translation, it says, how does this man have all of this understanding? How is he able to see and understand all this? And then in verse 55, it says, is not this the carpenter's son? So again, what they are doing is they are seeing Jesus the way they've seen. He's in his own town, his hometown. They're seeing him the way they've seen him his whole life, right? They're not seeing the Son of God. They're seeing the son of Joseph the carpenter. Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas and his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things, or all of this understanding and all of this authority? Verse 57, and they were offended in him, But Jesus said unto them, A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. And I think this is amazing, because out of all of Israel, Jesus could not perform many mighty miracles in his own hometown, because they could not see him as Jesus, as the Messiah. Excuse me, but everywhere else he went, he performed mighty miracles because they believed in him. They didn't see him according to the flesh. They saw him as a Messiah in the spirit. Because you can look at somebody, you know, we're all human beings, and we all get tired, and we all get grumpy sometimes when we're waking up in the middle of the night. Not just saying anything. Sometimes we don't want to be around people. We want to go home and take a nap. We're normal human beings, right? And so what they were doing was, well, how, if he was something special, then we would see something special in him. But all they saw was this normal guy who was the son of a carpenter. He did normal things that they did every day. And so they couldn't, in their eyes, see anything because they weren't looking by faith. You know, it's amazing to me that they had heard of the miracles. They had heard what Jesus did. But when he actually came back to town and was ministering in the synagogue, they couldn't see that he could do those things. And I think that's what we do in our own lives, sometimes without even realizing it. We know that Jesus can do these things. We've heard that there are miracles that have been done. Even now, you hear of miracles all around the world. But when in your body, or in your family, or in your neighborhood, wherever it is, there are conflicts, there's pain, there's hurts, there's sickness, there's disease, what we do is we only see in the flesh. And because we only see in the flesh, we cannot see Jesus as the Spirit of God in us. We cannot see that. And then because of our unbelief, we do not receive the mighty miracles that need to be done, the mighty miracles that can be done, the supernatural power of God that's inside of you, the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. The resurrection power. That means Jesus was dead. And you know, anybody that's dead and they come back to life, I mean, technically you would have no brain because your body had lost so much oxygen, there wouldn't be anything there. But the resurrection power of Jesus Christ made his whole body glorified new. Don't you think he can't do the same for us? He is in us for a reason. He paid that price for a reason. You know, when someone receives a miracle, you know, like Kenneth Hagin used to say, it's like a dinner bell that brings people to the Lord. They hear of miracles and they hear of things happening, and it's just that, it's just the thing that brings them to the Lord, that they know that that is possible only through the Lord Jesus. And that relationship only comes through the Lord Jesus. Amen. But quite often what we do is we hear about the miracles, you know, and sometimes it's like, okay, yeah, that can happen and that can happen and that can happen. But what about the problem in my life? You know, like I know God can raise people from the dead, but I am having a really bad relationship issue, or my body is hurting. And yeah, that person got their miracle, but what about me? None of this ever changes for me. And we get so into ourselves that we miss believing in Jesus Christ. We miss believing in who actually performs the miracles, the one who actually does the work. Amen. All right, so just one more thing, and I'm going to close out. Revelation chapter 3. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to break this down because it was really long. I'm going to break this down into next week because I want to talk about how to use your authority, okay? But I'm going to do that next week. So Revelation chapter 3, verses 26. Wait, 2, I'm sorry, chapter 2. Revelation 2, 26. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And this is so awesome. I'm going to leave you with this. Because Jesus received the power, he gives it unto us. If you do not know Jesus, you cannot receive that power. Amen? Right. Do you want things to change in your life? Do you want miracles to happen? Don't think that it's anything that you can do in your flesh. It has to be done in the Spirit. Amen? Amen. All right, that's all I have today. Thank you, Lord. And I want to remind you, you know, I sincerely, thoroughly believe that everything that you pray for, believing you will receive. Amen? If you do not doubt in your heart, you just place that up to the Lord, you will receive it. If there is something that you need prayer for, you know, you can always come to us. But all it takes is two or more gathered together. Get someone to agree with you. I want this done in my life. I want this to change. And Jesus will be right there. He'll be right there to take care of it. Amen? We are here to pray for each other. Right? All right, you can go ahead and stand. Thank you, Lord. And if there is anyone here, if you don't know Jesus or you haven't received the Holy Spirit, you haven't been immersed in the Spirit, all you have to do is ask. It is a simple thing. You ask Jesus to come in. You ask the Holy Spirit to fill you up. And almost always, you'll receive the gift of tongues. Sometimes it takes a little bit. A lot of people are a little apprehensive with speaking in tongues because it sounds strange. But it takes the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, right? So when you pray in tongues, it may seem strange, but it is working mighty miracles. Amen? All right, let's pray. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we do thank you, Lord, for strengthening the faith that you have placed in us, God. We thank you, Lord, that even though some of us, it's just a grain of mustard seed, you are doing mighty powerful things with that, Lord, because we put our faith and our hope and our trust in you. And Lord Jesus, right now, we receive you into our hearts. We receive you into our lives. Make us new, Holy Spirit. Fill us up in Jesus' name. Whatever darkness, whatever sins, Jesus, we ask you would forgive us. God, we just ask that you would change us from the inside out. We need you in every area of our lives. We need you to change things that we know that we cannot change ourselves. And we thank you that you are doing that, God. And we just thank you too, Lord, for the peace of Israel and of Jerusalem. God, right now, you know what's going on over there. You know exactly what needs to be done. We thank you that you are defending your people and that we too, as Christians, we are grafted in to the people of Israel. So we thank you, Lord, that you will not forsake your people, but you are taking care of us in every area of our lives. In Jesus' name, and also anyone who is sick and hurting right now, in Jesus' name, you are healed by Jesus' stripes from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. Whether it be a spiritual pain, if there is depression or oppression, we command that to leave you right now in the name of Jesus. If there is any physical pain in your body, anyone with headaches right now, we command that to leave your body right now in the name of Jesus. You are made whole from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. We boldly declare that we are saved and set free in this house. In Jesus' name, amen.